Here we are just a few days from Christmas, and people are rushing and buying and shopping and enjoying parties. Not too far away, there's always still the bad news that we hear all the time in our country, suffering in our world, difficulties, the economy, and on top of it, none of us that I know of won the Mega Millions. There are serious issues. There are problems. Have you ever wondered, like I wonder, what is the world going to be like for our kids, and now that I'm 60, for my grandkids? What is this world going to be like that we're leaving with them? Now, I'm going to tie it together, but as we move into a new year, I invite you to join with me. We read through the Bible in a year, many of us throughout the church, and there's a daily Bible reading. And Pat does a very careful job printing up the schedules, and they're on the back table, and January's coming up. And so if you can't see it back there, if there's not a form back there, they're all taken, you can go to our website and you can find the daily Bible schedule on our website, which is, it's been a couple of weeks, so I thought I had to get this in here. It's on our website, which is www.gracechristiancenter.us. Oh, good. High five one another right now. High five. As we move into the new year, 2014, we're going to be beginning January, the Old Testament portion, with the book of Isaiah. And I invite you to read along and enjoy reading through the Bible. How many know reading the Bible every day changes your life? You go, well, I've read it before. Well, even if you've read it 50 times before, there's always something new that the Holy Spirit shows you and quickens to you. If you've never read it before, find a translation that you can understand and read along with. You don't normally begin, if you're a first-time reader, with the King James, but there are a lot of translations that are great to read along with. So I encourage you. But what does Isaiah in the Old Testament have to do with Christmas, or have to do with, more importantly, our lives today? Well, very definite, pertinent application. And I'm going to give you some background, and I'll really tie this together. I really will. But in Isaiah's day, the conditions of the hour, of the economy, and of the nation were far worse than our situation today in America and in life. The economy was worse. Transportation was difficult, and economic benefits that we so take for granted were not available. But there's something that Isaiah says to us today. And let's go for some of the settings of Isaiah. And this will tie into Christmas. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah are filled with judgment. Judgment on immoral and idolatrous Israel and Judah. You remember there was the dividing of the kingdom following Solomon's reign, and his son came onto the throne, and during his reign, the son's reign, it was divided into Israel and into Judah. The last 27 chapters of Isaiah, like the 27 books of the New Testament, by the way, the last 27 declare hope. There's hope when you read about what God wants to do. There's prophecies about the Messiah coming as a Savior. And Isaiah's ministry spans at least 40 years and four kings of Judah. His name, Isaiah's name, even means, say it with me please, Yahweh is salvation. So the message of Isaiah, like the message of the entire scripture, is a message of salvation. How many know God loves His people and wants us to be saved? Someone say amen. Isaiah is considered the Old Testament St. Paul, if you will. He was from a distinguished Jewish family. He was highly educated, had an impressive vocabulary and a style of writing. He was in close contacts with the royal court, and he was an uncompromising, sincere, compassionate believer. His wife was a prophetess, and Isaiah spent most of his time in Jerusalem. Now, tradition tells us at the end of his life, tradition tells us that he was sawn in two during the reign of the wicked king Manasseh. How many have ever heard of Manasseh? Manasseh was down the lineage hundreds of years after David had occurred, and he was a terrible king. He finally had a turnaround in his own life at the end of his life, but his reign was filled with wicked idolatry, closing down the doors of the temple, and idolatrous worship became that which was taking the day. And they sawed Isaiah in two. It's probable or possible. Now, the word salvation occurs 26 times in Isaiah. Now, that's important because it's only 7 times total in all the rest of the prophets combined. This is a book of salvation. Now, in the midst of all of this prophesying to northern kingdom of Israel and to the southern kingdom of Judah, trying to get them to repent, the nation of Syria was bearing down on them. They were one of the wicked, onslaughting enemies that would mistreat the nations all around them. And God told them in Isaiah through the prophecy that Syria would not prevail. In verse 9, he says this verse, verse 9 of chapter 7. Read it with me if you would please. Isaiah 7 verse 9. If you will not believe, surely you will not be established. Church, that's a verse for us today in our walk with God. If you will not believe the word, if you will not believe the grace Jesus has, if you will not surrender your life to Him, there will not be establishment in your life. We don't play Christianity, do we? When we come to Jesus, we surrender to the King of Kings. And so we love His word, ask Him to write it on our heart and mind, we study His word, we stay in His word, and we believe His word. Say it with me again. If you will not believe, surely you will not be established. And the Lord tells Ahaz, a prophet, to ask for a sign that God is going to deliver His people from Syria, if you will. And the king won't do it. He refuses. So God gives him a sign. Now watch this verse, Isaiah 7, verse 14. See if this sounds familiar. Therefore, the Lord Himself, since you won't ask for a sign, God's going to give you one. The Lord Himself will give you a sign. Please read the rest with me. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. Hundreds of years before it happened, the prophetic word of God was a declaration of a Messiah to come. Thousands of years before it occurred, a Messiah is coming. His name is Emmanuel. God wants to be with His people. Raise your hand. Say, God wants to be with us. Got to do the motion. With us. Go ahead. Hit your neighbor. With us. So Isaiah is prophesying during one of the worst times in the nation's history. In the midst of the darkness. How many know God loves to shine His light in the midst of dark times? You know, the teacher said God loves to show up, and then God loves to show off. He likes to bring His light in the midst of darkness and dark times. God knows how to do miracles. Raise your hands with me. I've got lots of emotions this morning. God, I believe you. Do your miracle in me. Amen. The light shines brightest when the times are darkest. Jesus is our Christmas miracle. Jesus is our Christmas miracle. Continuing on, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. If you want to turn in your own scriptures, you're welcome to. I have them up here as well. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born. We sang about it this morning. Unto us a son is given. Who do you think this is speaking about? And the government will be upon His shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. If you want the peace of God, surrender to His government in your life. Lord, sit on the throne of my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. I surrender my life to you. I don't just give you mental assent that you are a Savior. I ask you to come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. And when I yield to His government, the Bible declares that peace will then have no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. He is one of us. He comes to be one of us. During a Civil War period, there was a mom who kept taking her little boy into the study because dad was off to war, and she would point to his portrait and say, "That's your daddy." She didn't want that little boy to forget what his father looked like. And day by day, that little boy would go in and look at his dad. Finally, one day, he turned to his mom and he said, "Mom, wouldn't it be great if Dad could just step down from that frame?" And that's what God did. For thousands of years, people looked into the heavenlies and they saw a picture of what God can do. And yet there were needs and there was darkness and there was turmoil and there was sin and there was devastation. And they looked and they said, "Oh God, isn't there something you can do for us?" So God stepped down from the frame as a little babe in a manger. And he said, "I came to be one of you." He's one of us. Emmanuel, God with us, fully God, fully man, the true Christmas miracle. Jesus comes from heaven. He penetrates our world as a little baby. And it was all God's idea. Some of you think God's so far away, doesn't care. This was all God's idea. Are you glad to be loved by God? He went through everything we do. He can relate to you and to me and everything we go through. But Jesus is unlike any child ever born before. This child, well, he grows up to be the man who takes your sin and mine upon himself, who goes to a cross, impaled on a cross with utter pain and agony, who dies and breathes his last, but in his last breath saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And that forgiveness releases the grace of God for us to be here right now this morning. Then he dies, he's buried, and rises again. What good news, amen? Shout it out with me, will you, this morning? What good news? The government is upon his shoulder. The king's closest attendant, I'm sorry, my voice is still changing. The king's closest attendant often had a shoulder piece where important keys to that king's kingdom were kept. They were the signs of authority. One who could open locked doors, who had the keys, was in charge. This Messiah, the Bible says, has the keys to the kingdom, and he opens the gates of hell and of death, and he brought captive souls into heaven with him. He cleared out the believers into heavenly presence, and all authority in heaven and earth belongs to him. I said, all authority. Somebody say it with me. All authority belongs to Jesus. What are his names? Well, wonderful. It literally means in the Hebrew, great, miracle, amazing. Everything Jesus does and did is amazing. His amazing grace. The Bible declares, after we read all of the Gospels, that the earth couldn't contain the books necessary to tell the stories of all the things he had done. He did so much. His forgiveness, his death, his resurrection. He is amazing. Somebody say it with me. Amazing. God's love to penetrate your world and mine, to show up. It's amazing. For you. For me. He's wonderful, great, miracle, amazing, a wonderful Messiah. You can study him for the rest of your life, and I pray you do, and study everything you can get your hands on about him that's built on truth and on the Word of God, and you'll never be able to exhaust everything you're going to understand or come to know about Jesus. 300 prophecies in the Old Testament prophesied about Jesus, about the Messiah to come, and Jesus fulfilled every single one of them. Church, that's amazing. Yes, yes. To fulfill a tenth of them is beyond the pale of recognition. For fulfilling one of them, you would think somebody would be great, but to fulfill two, absolute, utter, miraculous. Mathematical statistic is just impossible to fulfill. And Jesus fulfilled every one of 300 prophecies. He's wonderful. He's amazing. Number two, he's counselor. He's counselor. One of honorable rank is what the Hebrew means. One who is suited to stand by princes and kings as their advisor. It's expressive. It's a phrase expressive of great wisdom. The Septuagint translates this phrase, the angel of the mighty council. The Chaldean is translated this way, the God of wonderful counsel. And one who counsels wonders. Never before could one counsel on how to miraculously change their life from the inside out until Jesus. Never before. Only Jesus. When you surrender your life to Jesus, does He straighten up your life? Come on, church, let me ask you. Did He straighten up your life when you gave your life to Him? Some of us are still being worked on, right? It's not quite soup yet. Not quite done, Kev. But He changes us from the inside out as we walk with Him day by day. The mighty, wonderful Counselor who knows exactly how to speak a word to your heart exactly when you need it. Don't you thank God? You're reading along in the Scripture and all of a sudden a verse you've read 50 times pops off the page and the Lord says, that's for you right now. Thank God the Holy Spirit knows exactly how to counsel us. He's mighty God, number three. One might translate that, God is a warrior is literally what that means. God is a warrior. How many know God is a warrior against sin and the devil? He doesn't want that to have any victory in your life and mine. Scholars have interpreted this title in two ways. The Messiah shall be called Strength of God or Strong God, Divine Hero. Jesus is our divine hero. God brought Him miraculously to us, and He's mighty and glorious. It doesn't matter the tough times that we go through, no matter how tough it gets, God is stronger still. Don't lose your hope. I know what it's like to go through tough times. Anybody else? Yeah. All God's kids got tough times. Look at each other and say, are you going through a tough time? Now say to each other, God's strong enough to help you. God is strong enough to help you. He's a mighty God to reach right to where you are. For you and for me, He is a mighty God. He's everlasting Father. Now, there's a huge raging controversy in the body of Christ. I'm not even going to go into it about this one. How can that apply to the Son? He's everlasting Father. Most commentaries agree what this is really referring to is not the position of Father, but the fact that Jesus is everlasting in that relationship of authority and loving shepherding care to put His arms around us, to guide us, to hold us tight, and to get us through. And He does that forever by His grace. Are you glad? Amen. I'm glad. He's eternal for you and for me. And He is Prince of Peace. Say that with me, would you? Prince of Peace. The Bible tells us He's the Prince of Peace in Isaiah, declaring for the Jew and the Gentile, making them partakers of the same privileges and blessings, internal, external. When we've surrendered our life to Him, He's the one who says, be still to the turmoiled waters in our lives. He's the one who says to the storm, stop, cease. He's the one who walks on the water of our lives and gives us peace. Especially, this title pictures the King who establishes a safe place for His people. Are you glad there's a safe place in Jesus? Man, sometimes you guys, if you're anything like me, you've gone through things in your life where you have absolutely no answers to the turmoil. No answers whatsoever. And then sometimes you get an answer and you don't like that answer. You know what I mean? And the only one to hold on to at those times is Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. Peace. Be still. What a great Lord. He's the Christmas miracle. See, this scripture, by the way, the Prince of Peace, this title in the Hebrew, the meaning of this, it doesn't depict Jesus as a meek and mild, wimpy individual. This is all about He establishes peace, in the Hebrew, through military conquest. Now, what does that mean? That means Jesus Christ defeated the devil once and for all at the cross, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. He split the grave, and sin was defeated and destroyed. If you will allow that victory to reign in your life, He is the mighty King of Kings who establishes peace in our lives because He is the conquering hero, the Prince of Peace. Aren't you glad? I'm glad. I'm glad. What a great Lord. I urge you at Christmas time, if you haven't, receive the true Christmas miracle. His name is Jesus. If you've already received Him, I urge you around your table with family and friends, celebrate Jesus. He's the true meaning of Christmas. He's the reason we do this, because He loves you. Say it with me. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He loves you so much, He gave Himself for you and for me. Did you ever, when your kids were little, participate or enjoy watching them participate in the Christmas pageants we oftentimes did in churches? It's a delight to see, and maybe you've enjoyed seeing your grandkids do the same. There's a story, a true story, about a gal who, she and her husband had been happily married for 5 years before they had any children at all. And so she went to the Lord to do some very serious praying. And she promised God that if He would give them a child, that He and she and the father and she would do everything they could to raise this child as unto the Lord and raise it with God's word as her guide and as their guide. She goes on to say, God answered my prayers and He blessed us with a son. Next year, God blessed us with another son. Following year, He blessed us with yet another son. And then the year after that, they were blessed with a daughter, and her husband said, we've been blessed right into poverty. But now they had 4 children. The oldest was only 4. And mom said, I learned to never ask God for anything unless I really meant it. As a minister once told me, if you pray for rain, make sure you carry an umbrella. She began reading a few verses of the Bible to the children every day as they lay in their cribs. And she knew she was off to a good start, felt right reading the Bible. And then God had entrusted her with 4 kids, and she wanted to not disappoint the Lord. She tried to be patient the day the children smashed 2 dozen eggs on the floor just searching for baby chicks. She tried to be understanding when the kids began a hotel for homeless frogs in the back bedroom, and it took her nearly 2 hours to pick up 28 frogs the kids had found. When her daughter poured ketchup all over her body and wrapped herself in a blanket just to see what it felt like to be a hot dog, she tried to see the humor in it, rather than the mess. Rather than being frustrated in spite of changing over 25,000 diapers, never eating a hot meal, and never sleeping for more than 30 minutes at a time, she still thanked God every day for her kids. She couldn't keep her promise to God to be a perfect mom. She didn't even come close, but she did keep her promise to raise them in the Word of God. But she realized it all came home to her that she was just still missing the mark a little bit when she told her daughter they were going to church to worship God. And the little girl said, I want to bring along a bar of soap because I want to wash up Jesus too. Something was lost in the translation when she explained that God gave us everlasting life. And her son thought it was very generous of God to give us his last wife. But her proudest moment came during the Christmas pageant. Her daughter was playing Mary. 2 of her sons were shepherds. The youngest son was a wise man. This was their moment to make a parent glad. This was their moment to shine. Her 5-year-old shepherd had practiced his line, and his line went like this. We found the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. But he was nervous, and it came out, the baby was wrapped in wrinkled clothes. And the four-year-old sister Mary said, it's not wrinkled clothes, stupid. It's dirty, rotten clothes. A wrestling match broke out between Mary and the shepherd. And then the angel jumped in to stop him. And the angel got the halo bent, lost the left wing. She slouched just a little lower in her seat when Mary dropped the doll representing Jesus. And it bounced down the aisle saying, Mama, 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 Mama. Mary grabs the doll, wraps it back up, holds it tightly, and then, right then, the wise men arrive. And her older son stepped forward, wearing a bathrobe and a paper crown, knelt at the manger and announced, We are the three wise men, and we are bringing gifts of gold, common sense, and fur. And the congregation dissolved into laughter, and the pageant got a standing ovation, and the pastor walked up to her afterwards and said, "I've never enjoyed a Christmas program as much as this one." He wiped tears away from his eyes and he said, "For the rest of my life, I will never hear the Christmas story without thinking of gold, common sense, and fur." And she said, "My children are my pride and joy, my greatest blessing," right as she was digging through her purse for an aspirin. Jesus had no servants, but they called him master. Had no degree, but they called him teacher. Had no medicines, they called him healer. Had no army, but kings feared him. Won no military battles, but he conquered the world. Committed no crime, yet they crucified him. Was buried in a tomb, but he rose again and lives today. How can you do anything but love this leader? Jesus, who is the true Christmas miracle. Will you stand with me? Musicians, will you come? Let's finish again with Silent Night. Lord, we thank you that you are the greatest miracle of all. Jesus, we're in love with you. We don't understand all that there is to understand in life. We just don't get it all the time. And sometimes, Lord, we know there's trouble and there's turmoil and financial difficulties and problems and things we don't understand. But Lord, all the time we know that you've got us in your hands. And we are so grateful, Lord. We are so grateful to be loved by you. And Lord, we thank you for coming, being born as a babe in that manger, for penetrating our world and truly being the greatest Christmas miracle of all. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here this morning and you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, I urge you to do so. Come on up front. We'll be honored to pray with you. It's as simple as surrendering with understanding. Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior. If you've done that and you find that you have some issues you need to pray about, we'll be honored to pray for you. If you need healing in your body, we'll be honored to pray for you about that too. Remember, tonight, 6 o'clock, 240 Maple Lane, we're going to have a celebration time together. Refreshments, singing the carols, and telling the Christmas story. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Be released. Have an absolutely wonderful and very Merry Christmas. God bless you all.